flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. We are broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead, an excellent place to spend your Valentine's Day with me and Abe. Where else would you want to be? What could be more romantic than a lunch with Abe and myself on Valentine's Day? And I will say this, the always lovely Twin Peaks servers are participating in like a Valentine's theme, right? Lingerie.
Yeah,
probably
Sweethearts Week.
Sweethearts Week. So just another reason to come by and hang out and have some lunch here. Say what's up to us. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes from right now. Abe's worried. He's got some concerns. So we're going to let him talk about those things in about 20. We'll get him on the old therapist couch, lay him down, let him talk it out in about 20 minutes.
Scary thought for any therapist. Having to talk to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's got Abe concerned in about 20 minutes. And then we'll play some Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40, as we always do on Happy Hour Friday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing.
As you know, I mentioned I'm going to be out at the bar tonight. And when I go, I go pretty hard. What? You all right there?
Nah, I'm listening, man. I'm listening.
What is there? Because you know we like to be hard on this show.
Well, Randy's born hard.
Born hard. I'm working my way there.
I've got some tenderness about
me.
Is there a
hard Valentine's Day shot I should be taking?
I mean, Randy would say hot liquor. I mean, that's, you know, just straight up. You don't have
That's
to
what get, I normally do.
Yeah, you don't have to get too I don't think you have to get too cute with it. Now, what they have here is a spicy mango shot. I think that's one of the deals during Sweethearts Week. So that's what they got served up here. But I don't know. Drink some whiskey.
I want to. I'm still doing keto, even when I go out.
Is whiskey not keto?
No.
I guess alcohol probably isn't keto, right?
Vodka. Like,
oh, it is?
Yeah.
Why, because it's made from potatoes?
I don't know. It's just vodka's very, very, very low carb.
Oh, okay.
Potentially zero.
What about tequila? Can you do...
Tequila's better. Yeah, tequila's not terrible.
Okay.
But most of the things I would drink tequila with... Now, if I'm doing a shot of tequila, fine.
Oh, you know what? I think when I've heard people talk about being on diets and stuff, and they still want to drink, which
vodka
is also...
tequila.
Or just, yeah, like tequila and soda or something like
so,
that.
So, yeah, I was going to get vodka soda and then eventually vodka and sugar-free Red Bull.
My whole thing is like, look, no offense. Do whatever sort of health steps.
By the way,
I'll
normally do this and then like
to get where you want to be at.
Five drinks in, like, I'll just order a bourbon anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So, like no, I'm not telling anybody how to handle their own fitness journey. But I'm like, if you're real committed to like a real diet, like probably not supposed to be drinking much of anything at all. Right?
I ran this morning. I've earned it.
Do what you want. I'm just saying, like, if you drink five vodkas and then order a pizza, it's all offset.
like, if I can
everything's
just,
ruined.
If I can keep to the five vodkas without the pizza, though, and then get home and eat, like, pound and a half of beef jerky, Still keto.
Yeah, I think
still
that's
keto. See?
Definitely healthy. I think that's definitely what you want to do. You wonder why you had, what'd you have, the stones last year? You had the kidney stones.
Hey,
or whatever
the doctor
it was?
Said there was one rogue stone, and I look pretty good.
Otherwise?
On the inside, otherwise.
Pretty good on the inside, otherwise?
That's what he said.
All right. Well, good to know. All right. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. Five vodkas and a pound of beef jerky. That's the diet. All right. So the NFL scouting combine is not too far away. Just a couple of weeks away from now, actually. A week and a half away from now. Among the many participants that are going to be really fun to see what they can do is Travis Hunter, but he can only work out at one position at the combine, so he's going to work out as a defensive back. I think that makes sense.
Not a fan of this rule.
I'm not either. I think he should be able to do both. Now, it is pro day. He can probably do whatever he wants, and when he does individual workouts with teams, he can do whatever he wants. But, yeah, man, like the whole thing about the combine really is that it's become a TV event. Like,
yeah.
Travis Hunter doing more is better for the product on television. So I don't understand why you limit him. Let him work out however he wants to work out. It's not going to be a problem. It doesn't, like, set a precedent. There's not going to be a lot of other guys that are trying to cross-train at different positions. I think they should let Travis Hunter do whatever he wants at the combine.
Yeah, and look, obviously, I think if he does work out at a pro day, and you would imagine Colorado's pro day will be kind of juicy,
well,
right?
Bet,
they got a couple of receivers.
Yeah. Yep.
Travis can work on both.
Obviously,
and then obviously
Shador. Yeah.
So I think he will have an opportunity, but there are teams that are interested for very specific reasons. Now, I've always had that debate, right? Like, I've always felt he was at his best a corner before a receiver. Some of those games he had, though, this year, I had to rethink.
God, I don't know.
Man,
it's
like,
hard
I don't
to
know.
Say.
No, I agree. I still think that he's probably closer to being a top corner in the NFL than he is to being a top receiver, but the skills are there for either way.
If I'm him, if you're just looking at it from a surely money standpoint, receivers make a lot more money than corners do. Now, corners make good money if you're a top corner. And
well,
I guess that's
he might
saying,
have his own weird Shohei thing where he's
he might.
Both and,
he might.
And all that.
But like the top five receivers in the NFL average salary is a hell of a lot higher.
Do you think a team is drafting him
corners.
Because they think he could be a top corner or because they think he's a weapon? And like, can the teams vote on this? Like,
yeah.
were they polled about do you want to see him work out at both or just one?
Yeah.
Should we amend our rules for this guy and take votes down the road for other guys? Like, there's got to be value for the teams to have been able to see him at both.
What I think
at the combine. Now you have to go.
It'll probably depend on the team too.
I guess, like, you don't have to go because only like he's not making it past five, six. So like, if you're some other team who's drafting, like if you're the Bucks, you probably don't have to go to the Colorado Pro Day for Shador or for Hunter.
All he really needs to do, and he doesn't even really need to do this, we saw last year with Marvin Harrison Jr., who didn't do anything, and he got drafted super high. Run the 40, you're good. You don't have to do anything. He won the Heisman. Put on the tape. You know what I mean? If you want to know what kind of football player Travis Hunter is, put on any tape from any of the games that he played in, and he's not falling past five, like you said. But just for fun, go out there and run the 40 and see how fast he can do it.
Look, you're going to compare his 40 time in the cornerback group with what all the receivers are doing anyways, but it would have been nice to see him alongside the receivers, too. I don't know.
Apparently, Pennsylvania sports books have lost $6.5 million since the Eagles Super Bowl victory. Not surprisingly, Eagles fans betting with their hearts, but also correct.
Now,
so,
Vegas made
good for
like
them.
22.
Because everybody bet on the
and
Chiefs.
I saw that like New York made a boatload and a couple of other states made a boatload. But in that state, between futures, which everyone just took, and then obviously game day bets or leading up to the game, they took a hit. I'm guessing they've made it back elsewhere.
They'll be fine.
Something tells me.
I don't think any
like,
of
is this. Is that the concern why the state of Georgia can't be good? Well, what if Georgia and the Braves win in the same year?
Yeah.
What a hit we'll take.
Yeah, don't worry. The other teams will make your money back. You'll be fine.
Well,
or
we got people betting Falcons 60-1, so that's right down the drain.
Yeah, man. It's a good value. It's good value. No, it isn't. They're going to have all your money. All right, here's Jalen Hurts. Their parade is today. The Eagles are being celebrated on Valentine's Day in Philadelphia. Here's Jalen Hurts talking about the joy that he feels.
This whole year has been more magnifying to me in terms of my desire to win because I kind of learned like how I processed everything after the game and where my heart was. It's like the joy of winning it still had no comparison to the pain of losing it. And so those things are still going to continue to motivate me and drive me internally.
So there's one end of the spectrum, right? Quarterback, MVP of the Super Bowl, very cerebral, mature, kind of the grown-up in the room, the journey that Jalen Hurts went on to get where he is right now. I think everybody kind of knows it and has heard it, and probably most people appreciate it. So there's that. There's that. There's Jalen Hurts celebrating winning a Super Bowl. Then you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's at the parade today. And I'm going to try to explain it without saying anything I'm not supposed to say on the radio. But if you saw the Roman numerals for Super Bowl 59, you saw that it was L-I-X, right? I-X is 9 because it's 1 less than 10. L is 50, so that's 59. You saw that, Abe?
I did.
Licks.
Yes.
Is what that would spell if it was letters. We had the story earlier in the week about how he kind of got into it with some Swifties, right? Or they kind of went after his mom's business or something like that.
That's
even
correct.
Though it was mom's business. So he's got a sweatshirt on today that says Swifties can Super Bowl 59 in Roman numerals, my, you know, undercarriage. So that's pretty funny.
I like to play on words.
Yeah.
I also liked it that they didn't necessarily come up with it. Like, the NFL forced it upon them.
I mean,
by still using these stupid Roman numerals.
Because you don't if like, it's just you don't Super like Bowl, the Roman numerals, huh?
Do you use them anywhere else?
No, but that's why I like them.
I don't know.
That's why I like them. They're only there for that. Occasionally on watches, you'll see a watch that has a Roman numeral on it. Sometimes,
I think it looks good in the logo.
Sometimes, like libraries,
like the Super Bowl,
have
logo.
A Roman numeral like etched into the side of it.
Library,
yeah, to like tell you the year that the thing was built.
I mean,
or something
I get
like
that. I don't have children. I haven't been to a lot. I ran past the library this morning.
I went to a library on Wednesday. It was a lot of fun.
I don't say, frequent libraries as a single guy. I probably shouldn't.
What?
I don't know. Probably shouldn't.
Why?
Weird. Feels weird.
Books are for the married?
Do people still go to libraries for books?
They should. They should still
go to
libraries for books.
Do they go to libraries for books?
They should. People should be going to libraries more. That is a stance that I have. There's a lot of other things you can get there besides books as well. Anyway, yeah, I like the Roman numerals, and I like the shot at the Swifties.
I will say this. I do like, if you're going to be using Roman numerals, you're the only one using Roman numerals. And I think that is kind of like a cool aspect to
it.
Like, none of the other leagues call their titles, they just go by.
And in life, in general, except maybe in Rome, I don't know, I haven't been there, but maybe there's numerals everywhere.
They just call them numerals, yeah.
Yeah, there's just numerals there. But it's like cursive. We don't use that. I don't use that in life.
Script, I sign my name.
I sign my name. That's it. Super Bowl, Roman numerals. Some of the stuff that we learned that was like, all right, this is going
to
be big.
Is it going
to
get annoying at some point? Like, if the NFL still exists way down the road, is it going to get annoying?
No. Not to me. I mean, it's just a couple letters once a year.
Like, here we are at Super Bowl CCXIV. Like,
but
that rhymes, so that was cool.
But no one says that. They say Super Bowl, I don't know what that would be, 200 and...
What'd I say, XIV?
That'd be 214 or something like that.
What is it, a UFC? Here we are, Super Bowl 214.
Yeah, I mean, look, hopefully Super Bowl's still going on then. It's a long time from now.
I mean, I won't see it.
No, we probably won't.
Although, hey, they're doing some weird stuff with science.
You never know. If you freeze your head like Walt Disney.
You don't even do that. You just upload your conscious.
Cryogenically, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You just download your conscious to a modem, and then you can download it to another body later on in the Matrix or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, you'll probably hate it, I would guess. We're going to come back and find other stuff that you don't like or you're worried about. It's kind of what it is, right? An honest Atlanta sports discussion. .. I'm worried. My name
I
is
did
Dave.
Not .. it. I did a hyphen, double hyphen this time. I'm a big fan of the .. though.
We're going to find out what Abe's worried about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. 20 minutes from now, we'll do a couple of different things. Obviously, we'll play Sports Jeopardy, as we always do on happy hour Friday. Also going to check in with Ben Helmrath. He is the Atlanta Drive team coordinator, TGL, as Atlanta Drive gets ready for a doubleheader on Monday afternoon. They got a 1 p.m. match versus the L.A. Golf Club, and then a 4 p.m. match against the Bay Golf Club. So a twofer on Monday. A lot of these guys are right now in San Diego playing at Torrey Pines in the Genesis. So it's a busy week for these golfers.
Yeah, it is. They're trying to hand the first L's of the season to both those teams.
That's right.
A couple
of
undefeated matchups.
Both L.A. Golf Club and the Bay Golf Club.
And Atlanta.
All undefeated, so some of that will come to an end on Monday afternoon. We'll check in with Ben about that coming up in about 20 minutes as well. Before we get to any of that, though, Abe's got a few things that he's worried about. I suppose my role is going to be to try to help you not be worried about him.
Yeah,
I guess if I'm also worried about him, we can confirm.
Yeah, you can confirm I'm not crazy for having some concerns.
I don't think there's ever anything crazy about being concerned about your sports team.
Especially in Atlanta?
I think there's no.
Where
it,
we
it,
talk
it,
about what's,
anywhere.
What's
Look,
coming?
Man, here's the deal. Only one team wins every single year. So if the worry is that I don't think my team can win a championship this year, you're probably right. Like, even when you have the best team, you don't always win the championship because stuff happens during season. So with that sort of primer, with that premise entering into it, yeah, I think it's reasonable to have concerns about your favorite sports team. What are yours?
Do we want to start with the Atlanta Braves or the Georgia Bulldogs?
Either way, it's fine with me. We can go Braves since it's spring training and all that, or training camp, depending on who you talk to.
We've talked about how the Braves haven't really done a ton in the offseason.
Yep.
They obviously did add Jurickson Profar and go for that. But to me, it feels like the Mets have caught and passed the Braves. With the addition of Juan Soto, they got Lindor and Marte and Winker, and pretty good potential rotation as well. And then you got the Phillies, who bring back Kyle Schwarber, and they've got Wheeler, Nola, Suarez as well. I do think there's a realistic shot that the Braves do finish third in the East, especially because we know that Strider's going to be out a little bit. We expect that Acuna's going to be out a much longer bit. They don't have depth in the rotation. We're going with Clay Holmes, potentially, as a five.
Grant
Holmes. Clay Holmes is on the Mets. There's a Clay Holmes on the Mets.
Okay.
Grant Holmes, Ian Anderson, Smith Shawver, Hurston Waldrip. You know, these are the guys that are potentially going to be your fifth spot. If something happens, maybe Strider isn't back as quick.
Something will happen.
We saw at times Chris Sale had to be protected a little bit. We saw certainly Ronaldo had to be protected a little bit more, and it still
got
came
hurt.
Back in him.
And got
it
hurt,
still got up with him. You also don't have depth in the field, right? Acuna's out. You have almost no outfield depth. You don't feel great about what you have behind the infield either. And you're dealing with Riley had an injury-plagued season. Ozzy had an injury-plagued season. Olsen and Murphy. Murphy was hurt too, but even when he was healthy, he was down a little bit. There's just so much being put on these guys are going to return to form. One, I don't know what the form was for half of them. And that includes Michael Harris, who had very good stretches, but also had a serious stretch of the season where he was nothing special. If we're going to be honest, I need Michael Harris to be something special because I think that's the type of player he can be. I think he can be something special. Same with Ozzy, same with Murphy, same with Riley. Same with Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think all of that is reasonable. I think that some of the stuff, I mean, you can sit and worry about all day long, and there's nothing you can do about it as far as the durability and the health. You just have to hope that your luck is better than it was last year health-wise.
Like, and I'm comparing it to where I was mentally to start last year. Last year, I was like, I understand what the Phillies are. I think the Braves are better, and I think the Braves should win the NL East.
Right.
I have a tough time convincing myself right now that I should feel like the Braves should. Doesn't mean they won't or can't.
Yeah.
But that they should win the NL East this season when I saw what the Mets did, and we know what the Phillies have done in a couple of seasons in a row now.
When healthy, the Braves lineup is as good as any of those lineups that you're talking about. Now, the Dodgers might be a different conversation. The Dodgers lineup might be a different conversation when healthy. But I think 1 through 8,
I didn't mention that, but there's also that.
But 1 through 8, I think the Braves lineup when healthy, and again, when healthy means when Acuna's in the lineup too, and not only in the lineup, but looking like Ronald Acuna, I think it is as good as any lineup in baseball. But again, there's a lot of ifs in there, but I can't sit here and tell you that they're going to be healthier. I think the concerns about the rotation are totally legit.
I think that's legitimate.
That's the thing that when I look at the team, I have some real worries about as well. You just have to hope and have to assume that you're going to get a little bit better injury luck this year than you got last year. I also think so much of
hope is the word.
Baseball and lineup construction and like chemistry and all of that plays on one another. So when your leadoff hitter is what Acuna was at the beginning of the year and then gets hurt, that trickles down. You're trying to find different guys to fill that role. Obviously, Riley was hurt at different times, but
even when he was healthy, there were struggles.
I'm just saying, like, in order for a lineup to function the way that it is designed to function, all the guys have to be in the spots where they're supposed to be. Like, Riley benefits from batting behind Acuna,
that's right,
who gets on base and puts pressure on the pitcher.
And then Olsen benefits, and Ozuna benefits.
Exactly.
I understand
it's sort of a compounding benefit from all of those guys being there. So hoping that they will be healthy and be in the lineup, I think, is enough for me to buy why they didn't do a ton to that. All those guys, when healthy, are very good. The rotation is concerning because...
Well, you've also got questions about Schwellenbach looked outstanding. He looked incredible.
Sure.
We've seen guys look like that for a stretch and then turn into what they turn into. And I'm not suggesting he's going to be a bum this year. That's not what I'm saying.
They've had really good success getting more than you expected from not just young guys, but from guys like Reynaldo Lopez, from guys like Chris Sale. And so... from the standpoint of the lineup where you're like, well, you just have to assume they'll be better than they were because it can't be any worse. The pitching rotation was really, really good.
You have to hope that they take zero steps back.
Well, yeah, you would almost worry that, all right, this is a guy who hasn't pitched this many innings ever in his life, who pitched these innings last year. How's that going to compound on itself? Okay, Chris Sale was an absolute revelation last year. Can he do that again? Maybe he can. I hope that he can. Strider, obviously, with the injury concern. And then down at the back end of the rotation, just with unproven young guys, and maybe it's Ian Anderson being able to come back, whatever. But yeah, I mean,
you've lost
like legitimate, not only top end, but just like good depth, reliable pitching in Charlie Morton and obviously Max Fried last year, and just like various other guys that you were counting on in that rotation over the last couple of years, and have luckily been able to replace them by hitting on guys that no one saw coming. I hopefully they can keep doing that, because that's the thing that might be the least, like, dependable in terms of their strategy over the last couple of years.
And the good news for them, and we mentioned it in earlier on, is that all you got to do is get in baseball and then just get hot. And
sure.
I think that does make you feel a little bit better if at certain points of the season you're not running away with the division.
That's a tough one to do, though. Like, that can't be the conversation every single day for 162, right? You know what I mean? I know
Agreed.
That's not what you're saying, but like, it can't just be like, well, just so long as we get in, then you get hot. It's like, well, there also has to be indicators that there's a potential for getting hot, you know? Like, it would be good if you had pitching that looked like it would be able to pitch in the
postseason. I guess what I mean is compared to, and I'll talk about Georgia here, as compared to Georgia or the larger scale college football, you can't get in as a 7 or 8 seed and expect to win it.
It's funny because Ohio State kind of just did.
Well,
get in and get hot is
that was because of their wild seeding setup as opposed
to saying,
actual.
Though, right. It's just kind of funny that they just did the thing that you never were able to do in college football, because you could not get to the playoff unless you had a great season. Ohio State lost its two biggest games of the regular season, got in, got hot, and won the national championship. But, yes.
Am I crazy for thinking Georgia's going to have some issues here? And I wrote worst team in 5 years. Maybe that's a stretch. Maybe that's extreme. I don't know why I should be trusting Gunnar Stockton. We're sitting here reading articles about there might be a quarterback battle. I don't believe there will be, but Ryan Puglisi either. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get at quarterback. You've lost a ton. There are 3 draft-eligible offensive linemen who are going to be NFL starters. There's 2 pass rushers on the defense that are going to be probably first-rounders. I have zero confidence in either line, and we're obviously hoping that Georgia churns out what Georgia churns out. And the other aspect of this to me, and you kind of saw it from Alabama when Saban left the sideline, and I wonder if you're going to get that a little bit from Georgia, even though Kirby Smart is still there. It doesn't feel like the mystique of the Big Bad Bulldogs still exists. Now, they can rebuild that, they can recover that. It doesn't feel like teams are scared of Georgia right now.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
You're not as sold as that.
Well, just like the mystique of the Big Bad Bulldogs is just sort of like that's kind of a general thought, right? Like, I mean, you know, they won the
SEC championship.
There have
been Georgia teams that beat you before you even stepped onto the field for the kickoff. And I don't feel like that now.
I suppose so. I don't know. Like, I guess maybe there was some sort of intimidation. I just think they were way better than everybody for a period of time, like for about 3 years, they were way better than everybody, so they beat pretty much everybody. They won like 35 games in a row. I think it's not just Georgia. I think the landscape of college football has evened. I think the NIL, the transfer portal, has just evened the playing field a bit in a way that I don't know that you're going to see teams winning
and the college ball playoff format too.
The college ball playoff format as well. Like, because again, Ohio State has a chance to win back-to-back national championships if they win again. They wouldn't even have been in the playoff if it wasn't the 12-team
playoff. It's more forgiving
than
it's ever been.
So, again, of course, there's reason to have concerns about a quarterback who's never started games before. Like, no one knows what to expect from Gunnar Stockton because you haven't seen him be the starter before. I just think
Kirby's
you can
there.
Say that about a lot of different teams. Yeah. They recruit at a level that almost nobody else recruits at, and as long as Kirby's there, whatever the mystique was is still kind of there because he's the guy. So, but yeah, I think every big time college football program has to wonder, like, are we going to be able to do this year in year out like we once could? Because there's so many competing factors on team building right now. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk to Ben Helmrath. He is the Atlanta Drive team coordinator, TGL. They got a doubleheader. We'll ask him about that. How do you prep for a doubleheader? Had that even happened before? They even had doubleheaders in the TGL? We're going to learn a lot of stuff. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're a few minutes away here from playing some Sports Jeopardy as we always do on a happy hour Friday. Happy Valentine's Day as well. Andy and Randy, midday show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. One of the many things coming up this weekend, I suppose it's Monday afternoon, but it is a holiday weekend for many. The Atlanta Drive have a doubleheader on Monday afternoon on ESPN, 1 p.m. versus the L.A. Golf Club, 4 p.m. versus the Bay Golf Club. Joining us right now is Ben Helmrath, the Atlanta Drive team coordinator. Ben, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Just like for my visualization purposes, like if we're talking about your role in, if it was a football team or a baseball team or something like that, like what's the team coordinator for the Atlanta Drive version in the NFL?
That's a good question. I mean, it's less of a coach. These guys are the absolute pros. I'm not there to do anything in that regard. I'd say it's more of a, like a strategy plus, assistant coach. I mean, I'm really there just to make them be able to shine, right? Take the the thinking out of it, take the worrying about what's going on, and the translating real golf to the simulated world, those kind of things is really what my job is.
Ben, I was told you were the expert on the layout of the course for each match. Is that something you got to do? And I know there's a bunch of different holes that could filter through over the course of a match. Did you have to play those holes yourself, or you just familiarize yourself with the flyby? How did you get as versed on each possible setup as you are?
I wish I could say I had the time to play all 50 whatever holes it is. No, I've not had the opportunity to do that. But, yeah, between the flybys and then we've been down there a good amount practicing as a group, just being able to walk the green orientation, marking kind of where you don't want to miss, right, on certain pin positions, marking where the grain is in the grass when you're chipping. Those kind of things help the guys just know, similar to probably what their caddies or their yardage books would tell them. That way they can just trust that we've got them put in the right position to score the best possible score we can on that hole.
So the setup is really cool, and I was lucky enough to come down there and be there for the media availability a couple months ago and see it, and I think that that's helped me maybe understand it a little bit more when watching on TV. What do you, for folks that obviously haven't been able to do that, like what do you think when you're watching on TV you might not quite get the full scope of as you do when you're in there in the building, seeing what the simulator's like, seeing what the big green that rotates is like? Like what are folks that are watching on home at home maybe not quite grasping as opposed to what's in the building?
I mean, first and foremost, just the size and scale of this is really mind-boggling when you see it for the first time. I mean, Andy, you said you've been down there, but, you know, you stand by that screen, and it's nothing like you've seen before. It's bigger than the biggest movie theater screen, right? So even just that in and of itself is kind of the starting point. But, you know, what I think has been one of the coolest things to see in person that it's sometimes harder to see on TV is you have 35 yards from when that ball is hit until it hits the screen. These guys know, is that ball going to draw? Is it going to fade? You're actually watching the ball leave the club face for a long period of time. That's never existed in the simulated world before. And that part is really cool because they are really getting to see immediate feedback on how they're playing. And but yeah, just general scale, the size of the green, it's small putting area, but it's a large section that rotates. And it's truly unbelievable what they put together.
Yeah.
Ben Helmrath, Atlanta Drive team coordinator, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ben, there was some new rules introduced today, specifically regarding the use of the hammer. And each team is going to have three hammers to be used over the course of the match. Do you take credit for forcing the TGL's hand? Atlanta Drive, of course, famously held their hammer the entire time in their season opening win. It was obviously great strategy. Why put yourself at risk when you have things in hand? Also, famously, the first shutout in the TGL. But do you maybe take credit for forcing a rule change midseason?
I joke with them. I'm also part of the competition committee that made the decision. And yeah, I mean, my argument was you don't put a Georgia Tech analytics guy behind it and not have some analytics behind the use case of it. We had no need to throw it. We had the lead, and we were going to hold the lead. So if we wanted, which I agree with, guys, I mean, it makes the matches extend. It makes it more fun. Everybody wants to see it. It's been a fun proponent. It's just in the competitive format that we were in, it didn't always make the most sense. So this will make it more fun, I think, in that sense. It'll allow us to see more of those hammers thrown, see the holes matter more. But at the same time, we were joking about it. I mean, you could be technically down five with three holes to go, and the match is still open. So hopefully we'll see more matches extend. We'll see more excitement going down the finish. I think everybody wants to see that Tiger-Rory matchup go to overtime and see that more often, and we do too as the league. So
one of the things I think we all enjoyed in Atlanta Drive's first match was the Falcons-related stuff. I mean, you had the Dirty Birds chain, the Penix jersey, the Dirty Bird dance. Like, all that was pretty fun. Any more of that kind of stuff? Like, any more Atlanta-centric stuff that we can expect on Monday?
I'm going to have to say, you're going to have to wait and see. I mean, we'll continue to try to do as much as we can to bring Atlanta and the heat of Atlanta down to West Palm. you know, I think the guys have been excellent, behind Mr. Blank and all. Everybody's kind of bought into the Atlanta theme and the Atlanta vibe. And we've had a lot of fun. You know, Billy definitely took it to a different level, shocking everybody with the dance. But no, I think all the guys are really having a lot of fun and trying their best to represent Atlanta.
I think more Billy Horschel dancing is really, I mean, that's really what everyone's clamoring for. Ben, thank you. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Ben Helmrath there. He is the team coordinator for the Atlanta Drive. Again, TGL back at it Monday afternoon, 1 p.m. They got two matches on Monday on ESPN, 1 p.m. versus the L.A. Golf Club, 4 p.m. versus the Bay Golf Club. Like we said, both of those will be on ESPN. Looking to stay undefeated, which would be great because L.A. Golf Club is undefeated, as is the Bay Golf Club. With all that said, let's get to Sports Jeopardy. Andy,
Abe,
brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. Hey, Bo.
All right, fellas. It was quite the challenge to find Valentine's-related sports questions. So I've got a couple of those. Then I've got a couple Valentine's questions. But then NBA All-Star Weekend is this weekend, and then there are a couple other things going on this weekend, too. So kind of a mixed bag. We'll start here, though.
All right.
What food item did Bobby Valentine claim to have invented?
I've heard this before. I want to see if you know this.
Oh, I don't know it. Andy.
Hey. Oh, okay.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's not a terrible guess.
Incorrect. Not a bad guess.
Yeah, that's not a bad guess. Abe, he claims that he invented the sandwich wrap.
That is correct. The wrap.
Yeah.
Invented by Bobby Valentine. He was the first person, he claims, to put, like, American food, in quotes, inside a tortilla. Because he didn't have any bread one day.
All right. Modified burrito, baby.
Sure.
What rare feat did White Sox shortstop Jose Valentin accomplish on April 27, 2000?
Andy.
Andy Bunker.
Inside the park grand slam?
That's a good guess. That is incorrect, though.
It's not unassisted triple play, because that's a short, short list.
But that would make it rare.
It would make it rare.
Too rare. I think I've I've seen the guys' names who've done that before. He didn't hit 3 home runs in a game.
That's not that rare.
3? 3 is decently rare.
4 is
4 is definitely rare.
Yeah. You make a guess here.
Got an answer?
No, I don't.
So Jose Valentin hit a natural cycle, being in order single, double, triple home run.
There you go. Well done, Jose.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, you got to go really deep down the well. Unless you want, I found a bunch of Valentine's hockey questions.
Oh.
But what insanely popular website debuted on Valentine's Day in 2005?
Andy
Bunker.
Facebook.
That is incorrect.
Abe.
Abe.
05. YouTube.
That is correct.
Wow.
YouTube launched on Valentine's Day 2005.
Wow. Happy
Facebook
20th.
Facebook launched in like 02, I think.
All right. 01. Happy 20th to YouTube.
Besides Valentine's Day, what holidays are the most flower scent?
Abe
Gordon.
Mother's Day.
That is correct.
Got to be.
All right, one more Valentine's Day. Andy, you might be the only one that would get this one. We'll see.
Okay.
According to Norfolk tradition, who leaves gifts on people's doorsteps on Valentine's Day?
Abe
Gordon.
King Olaf.
That is incorrect.
St. Valentine.
So technically that's incorrect. The name of the guy is Jack Valentine. But I don't think he was St. Valentine. I only put that question on there because of your ties to Norfolk tradition and Jack. NBA All-Star Weekend questions.
All right. Great.
Who has won the most NBA slam dunk competitions or
Andy.
Who has the most times?
Andy Nate Barker. Robinson.
That is correct. Andy
Shout
on the
out.
Board. The score now is 3-1.
Seattle.
At what team's Vivint Arena was the 2023 NBA All-Star Game played?
Andy
Bunker.
Utah Jazz?
That is correct. The Utah Jazz. Score now 3-2. So the 2023 All-Star Game played at the Vivint Arena. What was Vivint Arena rebranded in July 2023?
Don't know.
No guesses?
I don't know. No guesses. I have no idea.
Abe?
Nope.
The Utah Jazz played at the Delta Center.
Oh.
I was going to go with an airline, but I didn't know which one.
Okay.
What Portland Trailblazer won his first ever three-point contest in 2023?
Abe
Gordon.
Oh, boy. I don't think he was still with Portland. Dame Lillard?
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Scoring out
4-2. I got confused by, yeah.
What two players competed in the NBA slam dunk contest 5 times in the years between 84 and 1990?
Andy
Bunker.
Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan.
Oh, that is incorrect.
What?
It is. You got it half right.
Say the question again.
What two NBA players competed in the NBA dunk contest 5 times in the years between 1984 and 1990?
84 to 90. You can just ring the buzzer. This is the wrong half. I'll say Dominique.
You're alive.
Come on.
Hershey Hawkins.
That is incorrect. Andy, you actually covered this team. It's Dominique and Clyde Drexler.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Clyde the Glide never got one. Never won. Back when superstars used to compete in the
Man, 5 times in a 6 years. Come on, LeBron. Step your game
Those
up,
are
dude.
Some of the best players in the game at
hey,
the time.
Hey, Mac McClung for the 3rd time. I mean, that's exciting, too.
Man's not in the NBA.
All right, it's a 4-2 lead, and we kind of got to go, but I'm going to ask this last one. Vince Carter and Kobe Bryant won every dunk contest between the years of 97 and 2000. How many did each player win?
Andy, one.
Andy Bunker. That is correct. It's kind of a trick question.
Yeah, they canceled it for a couple years.
No dunk contest in 98, and there was no All-Star game at all, no weekend at all in 1999 because of the lockout. Andy gets that one to make it 4-3, but we're out of time. That means Abe Gordon's going to pull the win here.
Oh. Randy's going to be so disappointed in me.
It was a valiant effort.
Thank you.
Wow. We do know Abe goes down trivia wormholes, though. So.
And we have to listen to Billie Eilish or whatever this is.
Billy Joel, man. Come on.
I know. Final hour coming up next. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Come by and see us. We'll be here till 2. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.